The former Playboy models of the Playboy Mansion have started writing a revisionist history of what happened there. They are now claiming that they were victims of Hugh Hefner, and Crystal Hefner, his ex-wife, his widow, is claiming that she must have been brainwashed or something to put up with being controlled under his watch all those years.
I thought women's brains matured faster than men's.
Who told you that?
Did somebody tell me that?
Feminism probably told you that.
I thought women's brains supposedly matured faster than men's. Shouldn't she have been fine?
So, just for background, she married Hugh Hefner in 2012 when she was 26 years old and he was 86. And she ended up becoming more so his caretaker toward the end of his life. Like, literally imagine cleaning up Hugh Hefner's bedpans and taking him to doctor's appointments. That is not enviable in any way. And, you know, initially after he died in 2017, she says that she never wanted to say a bad word about him. And in fact, he made her promise to only say good things. And that is now the title of her tell-all memoir that is on sale starting today.
Where she says not nice things.
Yeah, it's called Only Say Good Things, Surviving Playboy and Finding Myself by Crystal Hefner. And I want to read a little bit of the description of this book. It's a raw and unflinching look at the objectification and misogyny of the Playboy Mansion, a woman's stolen young adulthood, and her journey to self-acceptance, and a rare look inside Hugh Hefner's final days. At just 21 years old, Crystal's life changed forever when she attended a party at the notorious Playboy Mansion. Picked out of the crowd by Hugh Hefner, she became one of his infamous girlfriends, attending glamorous Hollywood parties and traveling the world. That sounds horrific, Crystal. Hef controlled his girlfriends with strict rules regarding everything from their hair and makeup to their curfews, and Crystal was forced to compete with other women for her spot in the highly hierarchical system. Living at the mansion, she felt more like a fixture than a resident. She quickly rose to the top, but being Hef's number one girlfriend came at the cost of her identity outside of her role in the Playboy universe. Her fate seemed sealed when Hef surprised her with a marriage proposal she couldn't imagine refusing. But as Crystal Hefner, she grew increasingly restless to understand who she truly was away from what she was in Playboy's toxic culture. In Only Say Good Things, Crystal offers a vulnerable look at how her experience with Hugh Hefner catalyzed her transformative journey from someone who prized external validation over all else to a person who finally recognizes her true worth. This candid memoir provides a fascinating look behind the scenes at a powerful cultural icon and brand, and an equally empowering perspective on hard-won lessons about how we allow us, who we allow to determine our value. And she also did an interview with the New York Times, doing press for this tell-all memoir. She called the Playboy Mansion a creeper's paradise. Yeah.
Weird Al should make his own version of that.
Creeper's paradise. She said that she's still adjusting to life outside of the Playboy Mansion, and she said she was rewarded for being small. She's been trying to shed the conditioning that she endured within its walls. Coming into power is a work in progress, she said. And she says she's still mining the trauma that she experienced there. At the time, I must have been brainwashed or something. I don't think that you were brainwashed. I think that you made trade-offs and exchanges in your own dignity in order to get fame and money and status. And if you found that degrading, you would be correct. But it doesn't mean that it was entirely foisted upon you against your will.
There was a statement here that she made to People magazine. After his passing, Crystal told People magazine that Hugh gave her direction and taught her kindness. He changed my life. He saved my life. He made me feel loved every single day. Men, the women are lying to you. It doesn't matter what they're saying to you now. They're very likely going to change their tune later. At least if you're 60 or if you're 80 and you're marrying a 20-year-old.
Look, I don't mean to suggest in any way that Hugh Hefner was a good person. I think anyone with common sense would know that this guy was a hedonistic, degenerate of the highest order, and he probably did a lot of bad things and is rotting in hell right now. That's not a controversial statement. But what I find so interesting about this is that the Playboy brand really branded itself as something that was emancipatory for women. It was essential to the sexual liberation movement and the sexual revolution. And Hugh Hefner kind of branded himself as a feminist. Like, he was freeing women from all of these oppressive ideas about sexuality. And if they really were freed from the shackles of repressive purity culture and religion, then they would become one of his girlfriends. Yeah. And that's a lie that still is pervasive today, despite the fact that all this revisionist history is coming out about the Playboy Mansion. The only way that you can redefine it, I guess, is to call him a misogynist. And that's, to me, is such an understatement for all of the evil that he did in this world. I mean, he was a feminist. He did believe in the sexual liberation of women. And the only question is whether you think that was a good thing. Mm-hmm. And all of these people who are exposing Playboy, they still are clinging to the idea that the sexual revolution was a good thing. But this was just, you know, executed poorly. When really it shows, you know, dehumanization and degradation of the human person was an essential part of the sexual revolution in sexual liberation. But we're not really ready for that conversation as a culture, clearly. And I don't know if without Hugh Hefner's influence, all of these women would have ended up on OnlyFans or selling their bodies on the internet. He could have never, you know, predicted that. But no doubt the world would have been a better place had he never had this influence. I just don't want to absolve these women of their participation in this culture. Because without them, it couldn't have happened. And I think that exposing Playboy has become its own cash cow and its own grift. All of these former Playboy models, the Playmates, have come out with their memoirs. They're producing television shows. Like, just a couple of years ago, A&E produced this TV series called The Secrets of Playboy and made money off of that. There's another show coming out that's executive produced by another former Playmate named Holly Madison called The Playboy Murders. And she also put out her own memoir called Down the Rabbit Hole: Curious Adventures and Cautionary Tales of a Former Playboy Bunny. And that was all the way back in 2015, before Hugh Hefner died. And I just saw another interview of Kendra Wilkinson, another former Playmate, who said that she was traumatized. She was controlled and exploited, and she was one of the youngest girls who moved into the mansion. I don't lack sympathy for what they went through, but let's not act like they didn't choose to be there. I mean, this isn't, you know, I mean, I feel like they're trying to frame Andrew Tate in the same light as Hugh Hefner. Like, all of these women are choosing to live on a compound in Romania and have an OnlyFans account, and they're claiming that they have been held hostage. When in reality, they're there for the money and they're there for the fame, and they could leave anytime they wanted to. Same situation for these women. They said, you know, I narrowly escaped the Playboy Mansion. You could have left any time that you wanted to. You went in by choice in this degenerate world. Mm-hmm. And it's really sad that it's embarrassing that feminism basically convinced women that all of these things that primarily benefit men are things that free them and empower them. Like, yeah, sleep with guys on the first date, like, that's empowering. And then the male feminists are like, yeah, that's a really good idea. You should be empowered in your sexuality, so you put out for me without committing to you. And selling your body on OnlyFans, all of the male feminists are going to support that. It's so embarrassing what has happened to women, and we're just like this hollow husk of like what a vision of femininity used to be. It's really sad. Like, I do feel bad for them, but I don't think that they're intentionally lying. What they're doing is they're lying to themselves.
Yeah. I think what it is for a lot of it is back then the idea of that men and women would take responsibility for their own actions was a lot more prevalent. And nowadays women have learned that you don't have to take responsibility for your own actions. You can decry the person who's dead and can no longer defend themselves and say that this was done to you, because there's a market for that. Back in the early 2000s when this culture was prevalent, I don't think it would have gotten the same play. I don't think that these types of stories would have carried the same weight that they do now, because the culture has demanded that these types of stories be treated as if they're 110% true. What I see is a world that was actually a lot more equal, at least in how we treated one another.
Thank you.
There's 220s. And it doesn't really matter, because now they're doing it to themselves. Like, who are they going to, who will they blame when there is no Hugh Hefner to blame? Are they going to blame the creator of OnlyFans? They're going to have to blame themselves eventually. Yeah. Maybe one day, if the women stay on their path long enough, we'll actually come to a culture where they take responsibility for their own mistakes.
OrganizedBusinessServices.com said, guys, money is just an illusion. Kim K needs the money and will sell her soul for a dollar. All Kim K's wealth is rented, not owned. Most of these people you talk about daily are rented, one day with money and next day broke. I don't know if I would agree with that if you're using Kim Kardashian as the example, but I understand what you mean in a larger picture. I don't see the second $20.
Oh, I think I got it.
Is this Crispy Leg Transport LLC? How many of these ladies' free will was taken away by gunpoint?
Yeah, I mean, that's the number one thing, right? A lot of it is also, it's reframing regretful choices you made as being brainwashed. And I don't like that either. I don't like the idea that you can rewrite your own history when the person isn't there to defend themselves. And obviously, Hugh Hefner is a over-the-top example, but we see a lot of that now. A lot of people want to reframe bad choices they made when they were younger as some type of coercion or something that happened to them, rather than admitting that we live in a society where we make choices for ourselves and they will have repercussions. And they're it's monetized to do so.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I am definitely of the opinion that most women's level of agency is limited, to say the least.
I don't have sympathy for them, because I actually believe that if the culture we lived in now told them that this wasn't a mistake, they wouldn't believe it was a mistake. I believe if the culture hadn't shifted around the victim narrative, that they wouldn't be looking back at their choices with the same lens that they're looking through it now. I think they've been led to these decisions.
It mirrors a lot of these false Me Too claims, though. Like, it's too simple and reductive to just say that all of the Me Too accusers were Machiavellian and they were calculated, and they drum up these fake stories that they know full well are fake in order to ruin lives. That definitely has happened and continues to happen, don't get me wrong. But I think more so, a lot of these accusers are lying to themselves and retroactively reinterpreting what happened to them as traumas, or reinterpreting what happened to them as essentially something that happened to them rather than something that they did, that they regret. Because it's easier to digest that story, like someone did something to me, rather than confronting and reckoning with the decisions you made. Like, that's far more painful.
Society won't hold them accountable. It's really, really funny, because when you talk about it and you say women have limited agency, people will say one way or the other. Like, some people say, base, that's awesome. It will applaud that statement. But the problem is society is telling them that they both have limited agency, but also don't. Like, they're telling them both, you should be 110% your own person. You make all your choices. You're a grown woman, boss, babe. But also, when you make a mistake, it's not your fault.
It's always
it's somebody else's fault. And I reject that. I really do believe that in the early 2000s, when this stuff was going on, we can talk about the degeneracy of it all you want. And depending on your level of religious belief or faith in the in what's going on and how the relationship between the sexes have changed in the last 10 to 20 years, depending on that, sure. But I do believe that in those in that time period in the earlier 2000s, neither man nor woman would be given as much special quarter as to how to interpret things that have happened to them outside of actual physical coercion and crime. Like, there just wouldn't have been the psychological redressing of your own actions as something that happened to you back then. And I think that most people that believe in like a fair, like what the societal idea of fairness is, would have believed that when we looked for equality, not equity, but equality, that that's what we were going for. There's women in government, and by gosh, we almost had a female vice president back there in the early 2000s. All this stuff that was going on, equal rights. People want the equal rights, but what we found is that they don't want the equal out, you know, they don't want the equal consequences that come from making your own choices.
Sure.
And it was a different time. As trite as that is to say, it was a different time.
Look, I don't buy the narrative that women didn't have agency over their sexuality before the sexual revolution. If you wanted to go sleep with every guy and be a prostitute and, you know, get pregnant out of wedlock, you were perfectly free to do all of those things. The only difference is that back then there was a culture of shame around those maladaptive behaviors. And also we lived in a more religious society that had a concept of sexual morality. You were equally free to make all of those decisions back then. Now, you are still free to make those decisions, but you will get celebrated for it. And if you regret it later, the media is happy to put a spotlight on you and give you the microphone and tell you that you are a victim.
There's a $20 one there from Mikey.
He said, who will they blame? Just men. It's always going to come down to men are the issue.
I would love to see one of these interviews where the person, like, who is the one that we listened to where they said, like, look, I didn't see any of that stuff happen.
Kendra Wilkinson said that she didn't feel like anyone had it out for her or that she was victimized, but she still says that she is traumatized by the experience of living there for 5 years.
But what she's saying is that so it's trauma brought on by her own choices, right? That's what people would like to see a lot. I honestly believe that these books, I think that the idea of somebody writing one of these books and using it as a cautionary tale for younger women would maybe play better, right? Like maybe there would be more of a market for people to, like, how good do these books actually do? Like, we see a new thing about them all the time. Like, I would love to see one of these women be like, look, I made these choices. You can judge Hugh however you want, whether he was a good guy or a bad guy. But at the end of the day, the person you have the most control over is yourself.
Yeah,
your own choices, your own actions, the decisions you make are the only thing you can 110% control without illegality coming towards you, right? Without the idea of somebody physically coercing you and keeping you somewhere, the number one thing that you have control over is your ability to say yes or no to a question, your ability to do something or not do something.
I think that Kendra Wilkinson's interview in People was the most honest. She said, I got into deep regret afterwards. I got to the point where I started hating myself and asking, why did I have sex with Hugh Hefner? I hated my body.
Why?
I hated my face.
Why?
I got to the point where I started hating myself. And, you know, even though she probably never reached an answer for why she did all of these self-destructive things in her early 20s, at least she's asking, why did I do this? Instead of, why did someone do this to me?
Look, I've admitted many times that I'm a dummy, sure. But, like, ask yourself this question. Take Hugh Hefner, then clone him. Make Hugh Hefner 2 Electric Boogaloo a plumber with no savings and no money to his name. Would you have sex with that one? He lives in a one-bedroom apartment. If the answer is you'll have sex with the one who has the mansion in the grotto and you won't have sex with the one who lives in the one-bedroom apartment, you have your answer as to why you chose to do that. I don't think that actually takes a whole ton of introspection.
Mm-hmm. Number one sent a $20 super chat. Feminism takes over Star Wars and blames the predominantly male audience for valid criticism. To quote Dave Chappelle, chivalry is dead and women killed it. These women be shopping for our IPs. Cheers, champs. Yep. They do be shopping for the male-dominated IPs. Mm. I guess I'm just disheartened that the consequences of the sexual revolution are smacking us in the face right now, and the conversation isn't evolving past I was a victim of this, you know? Like, why can't we have an honest conversation about the way that the Playboy Mansion contributed to our pornified culture that has victimized more people than ever personally interacted with Hugh Hefner? And why do we have to cast him as the monster and the women who are around him as little babies who I mean, yeah, that's just such a simple narrative that doesn't require us to morally question the new sexual mores that we've accepted.
That's your answer. The answer is that it's simple and it's easily digestible, and that's what the media wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just very sad. Like, I do feel, I feel for these women because they clearly are traumatized and mentally ill. And they probably don't have it in them to confront their regrets in life. And they also have a monetary incentive to sell that story.
That brings me to this. After Hugh's passing, it was revealed that Crystal was excluded from his will, but he did not leave her with nothing. In 2013, Hugh bought her a $5 million West Hollywood mansion. Apparently, she also received $7 million in cash. I wonder what the hell the tax implications were on that. The house was built in 1937 and boasts a stunning Mediterranean vibe after it was remodeled. So
she's still living in that?
I have no idea. But this says Crystal Hefner at the Playboy Mansion. This is a photo not in that apartment. At the mansion, I was fitting into someone else's life. I wanted to make sure the house reflects my current life, but also my past. She seemed a lot less upset about it all when there was no book to be sold. Like I said, it's the victimhood to book pipeline that they all end up on. And as adults, as somebody who was also an adult at this time period in the early 2000s, I have very, very little sympathy for choices in which no criminality was actually committed upon you. Maybe I'm the bad guy.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, everyone knows and is a person who made decisions that hurt them in the end. And that's painful. I feel
choices.
Sympathy for that pain. Like, even self-inflicted pain. Like, I do feel sympathy for that.
Thanks for watching. Listen to full episodes of Pop Culture Crisis on Spotify.
Keep up with us on social media and make sure you subscribe and ring that bell so you never miss the show. Bye, guys.